Here the voice of Miss Bartlett was heard saying that a crowd had begun to collect. Mr. Eager addressed the driver again, in Italian which resembled nothing so much as an acid whistling fountain which played more and more shrilly, till abruptly it was turned off with a click.
"Signorina,"
said the man to Lucy, when the display had ceased.
"Signorina,"
echoed Persephone in her glorious contralto. She pointed at the other carriage.
"Why?"
For a moment, the two girls looked at each other. Then Persephone got down from the box.
"Victory at last," said Mr. Eager, smiting his hands together. "It is not victory," said Mr. Emerson. "It is defeat. You have parted two people who were happy."
Mr. Eager shut his eyes. He was obliged to sit next to Mr. Emerson, but he would not speak to him. The old man took up the matter warmly.
"We have tried to buy what cannot be bought with money. We have no rights over his soul."
Miss Lavish frowned. It is hard when a person you have classed as typically British speaks out of his character. Presently Mr. Eager gave a signal for the carriages to stop, and marshalled the party for their ramble on the hill. A hollow, like a great amphitheatre, full of terraced steps and misty olives, now lay between them and the heights of Fiesole, and the road, still following its curve, was about to sweep onto a promontory which stood out in the plain. It was this promontory, uncultivated, wet, covered with bushes and occasional trees, which had caught the fancy of Alessio Baldovinetti nearly 500 years before. He had ascended it, and standing there he had seen that view of the Valdarno and distant Florence, which he afterwards had introduced, not very effectively, into his work. But where exactly had he stood? That was the question which Mr. Eager hoped to solve now. And Miss Lavish, whose nature was attracted by anything problematical, had become equally enthusiastic. The party sprang about from tuft to tuft of grass, their anxiety to keep together being only equalled by their desire to go different directions. Finally, they split into groups. Lucy clung to Miss Bartlett and Miss Lavish. The Emersons returned to hold laborious converse with the drivers, while the two clergymen, who were expected to have topics in common, were left to each other. The two elder ladies soon threw off the mask. In the audible whisper that was now so familiar to Lucy, they began to discuss the drive. Miss Bartlett had asked Mr. George Emerson what his profession was, and he had answered, "The railway."
"The railway!" gasped Miss Lavish. "Oh, but I shall die! Of course it was the railway!"
She could not control her mirth.
"Eleanor, be quiet!"
plucking at her vivacious companion.
"Hush! They are here!"
"I'm sure it's all right," put in Lucy. "The Emersons won't hear, and they wouldn't mind if they did." Miss Lavish did not seem pleased at this.
"Miss Honeychurch, listening," she said rather crossly. "Poof, you naughty girl!"
"Oh, Lucy, you ought to be with Mr. Eager, I'm sure."
"I can't find them now."
"Mr. Eager will be offended. It is your party."
"Please, I'd rather stop here with you."
"No, I agree," said Miss Lavish. "Miss Lucy, you are to go. We wish to converse on high topics unsuited for your ear."
The girl was stubborn. As her time at Florence drew to its close, she was only at ease amongst those to whom she felt indifferent. Such a one was Miss Lavish, and such, for the moment, was Charlotte. She wished she had not called attention to herself. They seemed determined to get rid of her.
"How tired one gets," said Miss Bartlett. "Oh, I do wish Freddy and your mother could be here."
"Then sit you down," said Miss Lavish. "Observe my foresight."
With many a smile she produced two of those Macintosh squares that protect the frame of the tourist from damp grass or cold marble steps. She sat on one. Who was to sit on the other?
"Lucy, without a moment's doubt. Lucy, the ground will do for me. Really, I have not had rheumatism for years. Imagine your mother's feelings if I let you sit in the wet in your white linen."
She sat down heavily where the ground looked particularly moist.
Sit down, dear.
She cleared her throat.
Now don't be alarmed. This isn't a cold. It's the tiniest cough, and I've had it 3 days.